owners of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today as we answer your questions about building wealth, doing work that you love, creating amazing, high-quality relationships. This is The Ramsey Show. The phone number is 888-825-5225. Deb starts off this hour in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hi, Dave. Yes, this is Deb. My husband and I were basic followers of the Dave Ramsey way. We always had one difference. He kept wanting in his 40s and 50s to sock money away for retirement. I wanted to pay the mortgage off. Our mortgage was at a very low rate. So he thought we'd be better off paying the mortgage and earning that retirement money, getting it in those IRAs and stuff at a higher interest rate. So my one concession was, okay, before you retire then, at age 60, and he retired at 62, we're going to pay off that home mortgage, which we did. So he retired at 62. We're, you know, everyday millionaires. I'm going to retire this year at 63. My 40-year-old son is getting married for the first time. I told him and his fiance my one regret was we did not pay off our mortgage sooner. And my son's coming back at me with that same argument. Mom, why would I pay off the mortgage when I have a low interest rate if I can make more money putting the money into investments? So, Dave, what can I tell him?
It's going to be hard to convince him against his will. I mean, you can give him some tools, resources. Does he know about the Ramsey plan?
Basically, he does. And beyond his home mortgage, he has no other debt.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we hear this argument a lot, and it looks good on paper. But we found that when you actually do this stuff, and when you survey all these millionaires with paid-for homes, none of them are going, you know what? I kind of miss my mortgage. I want to go back into debt. And when he frees up that mortgage payment, guess what he can do now? Invest way more than he was.
So,
and that's
does your husband think that he is now an everyday baby steps millionaire because he didn't pay off the house and invested the money? Does he think that's how he became a millionaire?
That's a good question. I've never asked him.
Yeah. Because I think he would tell you that's not how he became a millionaire. The way he became a millionaire was he steadily invested and he controlled his expenses, and that enabled him to not only become a millionaire but also pay off the house, which added to the process. So the answer to the question is, number one, you're not going to tell a 40-year-old anything. you know, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. So George is right. My grandmother's saying applies. Those convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. If he actually does want to engage a conversation, which it doesn't sound like he does, it sounds like you do. But if he does...
Except his girlfriend or his fiance agreed. She kind of took my side.
She did.
So...
Okay, so we're having a good, healthy, fun family argument like the Ramseys do every meal. Okay.
Yeah, I probably do.
We all argue with Rachel about her conspiracy theories at every meal. So, okay. All right. So you got to have some fun, right? So,
exactly.
Well, the answer to the question or the answer to the argument is several fold. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I have approached it in my life from about three or four different angles. And every one of those angles has led me to pay off the house. The first angle I approached it from, once I went broke with borrowed money on real estate, I was a baby Christian, and I couldn't find anything in the Bible that said anything good about debt. You're a fool. You're a slave. It's unwise. It's not a salvation issue spiritually, and it's not a. Certainly not even a sin. Biblically, but every mention of debt in the Bible is negative. So as a person of faith, I had to say, okay, my Heavenly Father says this is a dumb idea. Biblically speaking, debt is stupid. Okay, why would he say that? Because he loves me. If the best way to become wealthy is to borrow on your house and then take that money and invest it in the stock market. Okay, so that first step is I entered it through that argument. Then the next argument I entered into was this idea of risk. Debt equals risk. I think we can all agree to that. More debt equals more risk. Less debt equals less risk. Yeah. No debt equals virtually no risk. And so, and you can tell that by when you say, okay, if borrowing against your house at 3% or 5% and investing it in the market in a mutual fund at a 10% rate of return or 12% rate of return, whatever, I'm making that spread. If that is an accurate mathematical formula, why would you not borrow $300,000 on a $100,000 house? You would borrow all you can up to your eyeballs if you're always going to make a 7 or an 8% spread, right?
Right.
But when you ask somebody, well, why don't you borrow $2 million that way then? That puts them in freakout mode, because when you put the absurd on the table,
no way.
It makes your emotions kick in, and your emotions are where you experience risk, not in your intellect. So your heart is where you feel risk. Your head is where you do math. And so your heart goes, your heart starts beating like, oh, God, no. Well, that's because now suddenly you're equating risk with debt. And in his discussion, he's got the debt small enough in his mind that he doesn't equate it to risk. Follow me?
Right.
So all of that to say that in sophisticated financial circles, which your son doesn't run in, we actually are taught to adjust a risky investment with an unrisky investment, or a low-risk investment with a high-risk investment. There's actually a mathematical process for adjusting those two for risk to where you can compare them apples to apples. So the high-risk investment, after adjusted for risk, the rate of return would come down. The low-risk investment, after adjusted for risk, would come up, and then you could compare them apples to apples. And there's a statistical measure of risk called a beta, which is the measure of the hill and the valley and the frequency of the hill and the valley and the, when you put it on a chart, that measures risk. If you entered that and you actually used a real math formula for your son's naive math formula that's incorrect, then you said, okay, we're taking on more risks, so we can't really count the entire spread from the mortgage rate up to the market rate as spread, because we have to adjust for risk. And when we adjust for risk, it neutralizes the benefit of the borrowed money. There's your academic answer. I gave you a spiritual answer, academic answer. Okay.
Yep.
Now let me give you one more. The borrower is slave to the lender. So that must mean slaves think differently. They have different relationships because they're not in control of their lives. They keep a job they wouldn't keep otherwise. I can't quit this job. I have a house payment. I can't tell the boss to take this job and shove it in a toxic, low integrity situation. I have to keep the job because I have a house payment. So you keep a bad job with a bad boss until it ends up caving in on your head and you end up making less in your life because you're forced into stuff like slaves are. You make more money, you have better relationships, you take less risk, and you make money faster if you don't have a mortgage. Your son is so wrong, it's unbelievable. This is The Ramsey Show. George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Laura's in St. Louis. Hey, Laura, what's up?
Hey, hi, Dave and George. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for what you do. I actually became a financial advisor because of you.
Wow.
Very cool.
We're honored. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Thanks. And I got my CFP.
Well, good for you.
Nice. Try to do the best I can. So I started from scratch and then built a nice business. However, I'm in an area that is kind of overrun by men, and I am the one that they bully. So I've been made an offer with another firm. How do you make that decision, and do you think my clients will follow? Because the idea of starting over scares me.
Hmm. Sounds to me like you've already made the decision.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, it's just I'm going to jump off of this diving board. And I know I'm not going to get hurt, but I've never done it before, and so it still scares me.
Right.
But I'm going to jump. That's really what you just said. You're not going to stay there. You have too much self-respect to stay in a situation that you just described to me.
My fear is that the clients won't follow because I can't contact them for a year.
Your fear of that does not supersede your fear of staying in this toxic situation.
True.
So you're leaving.
So build an emergency fund before I leave because I'll be starting over with no salary.
You single?
No.
You broke?
No.
Okay. So why do you have to do all that? You're all right. You're not going to go hungry. And here's the thing. Okay. You built this book of business. It did not come because of one of the bullies, right?
Right.
So why in the world would they stay with the bully? They came to you in the first place.
True.
Have you, I mean, from a practical standpoint. Now, do they have any kind of a legal hold on that book?
Yes.
Oh. So what happens if your client walks in and says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to
nothing.
Go to Laura. Nothing. But you can't solicit them.
Yes.
Okay. So you've got a non-solicitation when you leave. But if they come to you without you reaching out to them, that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you can't proactively. How often do you usually have contact with them?
With my top 100?
Mm-hmm.
At least quarterly.
Okay. So kind of walk it through with me. What do you think will happen when top 100 calls in, because you haven't called them because you're not allowed to, and they say, oh, Laura left?
I would imagine they would ask where I went.
Will they tell you? Tell them?
They have to, by law, send out a letter.
Oh.
Saying where I went.
In advance?
Yes. Well, as soon as I put in my resignation, when I leave the firm, then they have to send out a letter saying where I went.
Okay.
And the new firm is willing to do all sorts of advertising.
Okay. Oh, this is a no-brainer.
Sounds like free marketing to me. They're sending
out
a letter.
No brainer.
Marketing your new company.
Listen, you're going to get 60 or 80 of them. Because you're a relationship person. You built relationships with them and trust with them. They work with you for a reason. And it's because you're Laura. It's not just because you know stuff.
That's what someone else said. I just wanted to hear it from you. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you and I both know the CFP world, okay?
Yes.
And there are CFPs that are relational. They to the point that you will end up working with some of these people's grandkids over the decades. And then there are CFPs that are certified financial Pharisees.
True too.
And they're legalistic maniacs, and all they are is super nerds, and they have the relationship skills of a dead doorknob. Right?
Right.
And that, I mean, that's the business that you're in. And that, you know, so you got no competition. That's why the Dave Ramsey thing's such a big deal. It's because I was the first guy who said money stuff out loud in a way that wasn't so nerdy and talking down to people like they were all idiots. I go, hey, that's stupid, but I'm stupid too. I don't go like, you're stupid and I'm smart, you know. And so that's the world. You're going to do fine. You're going to do fine. How long did it take you to build this book of business?
8 years.
Oh, you're going to be fine. How old are you?
51.
51?
Yes.
Oh, you're almost dead. You're not going to make it.
That's my concern, Dave. You're 10 years older than me. And I learned about you in my 30s.
You're just getting started.
That was an underhand pitch, kiddo. Oh, you're going to be amazing.
Dave's about to hit his midlife crisis.
So what do you think, Joe? What do you think the percentages will follow her? You know the business, too.
Yeah, I would say 50% of the clients are going to jump over because they don't want to deal with whoever the new guy is at this
I'd say it's
company.
More than that. I mean, wouldn't you jump? I mean,
you
don't go to a company. Our SmartVestor pros don't retain.
I just did this with my barber. I like my barber. I don't care about where he works. I just want to follow my barber because I trust him.
Not a problem I have, George.
So you don't have to deal with that, Dave. That's
You're
the
right.
one thing I have on you is
That's
hair.
That's right. That's you definitely. Much
That's
better
it.
Hair. Much
and
better.
So, but it's the same concept.
Yeah, it is.
I trust my barber. We have a relationship. I tried the other guys. It didn't work out with them.
Yeah.
So I moved with him to his new business.
That is a good example. I mean, and, you know, your doctor. My doctor just changed.
He changed his hospitals.
And I didn't go back to the goobs that he used to work with. I went with the guy, the new goobs that he moved to. You know what I mean? And it's a freaking doctor. I don't need to start over with this guy.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't need to. It's too much trouble.
Too much medical history.
Oh, yeah, because I don't have. No, I have no medical history. That's the point.
I'm sure you go to the doctor like once every 8 years.
At least.
You don't strike me like the type has a sniffle and decides to go see the doctor.
The only reason he knows me is we're just personal friends outside of work. So,
unless Dave's on a stretcher,
The point, though, is not that. The point is she's going to do fabulous because you can just tell talking to her. I trust her just talking to her for a minute.
Yeah.
The way she carries herself, her vernacular, her voice tone, her cadence, you sense a solid person of integrity that is not in a hurry and not greedy. She's actually worried about them, not just her.
That's a unicorn in the financial planning world.
They're out there. I mean, there are smart Vista pros fall in that category. They're those kinds of people. But the rest of them, I mean, are not everybody that's not a smart Vista pro. But, I mean, there's too many people in the business that are all about super nerding or they just get caught up in the nuances of stuff. But she's going to do great. I think you're wrong, George. I think it's 75%.
Hey,
so, Laura,
call
us back in 6 months and tell us who won the bet. George's got his money on 50. I got my money on 75. So
I play conservative.
I know.
I'm not like Rachel at the slots.
I'm a big Laura fan. So
that's fair.
You know, I think this is where it's going. All right, this is good stuff. Silvana is with us in New York City. Is it Silvana? Is that correct?
It's Silvana.
Silvana, I apologize. How can I help?
Hi. So I am a current college student, my second year. I just transferred last year from a community college. So this is technically my first year at a four-year college. I still have like about 2.5 more years to go to finish my degree in computer engineering. Problem arises that I don't qualify for any financial aid whatsoever. Under my parents are divorced, so under my mom, nothing because she makes way too much money.
But scholarships and work, you qualify for jobs and you qualify for scholarships.
Scholarships?
Yep.
Some I haven't received any.
Well, you haven't asked for any. There's not a scholarship fairy.
How many have you applied for?
I've lost count. I haven't even kept track. I've applied for everything.
Okay, you should have applied for 200 by now, not 20. And 20 is the number that you've actually applied for. You have to go for a whole bunch of them. We have Christina Ellis, Ramsey Personality. She got $500,000 in scholarships. $500,000. You don't need that much. So scholarships. Oh, and by the way, kiddo, lots of people out there begging for people to work right now. You can make serious money in New York City right now because nobody's working. Go to work and work your butt off and you can get through school. I promise you. Keep your expenses down and do it. George Campbell, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Ronald and Denise are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
We're great.
Great.
Honored to have you. Where do you guys live?
Richmond, Virginia.
Fun. Welcome to Nashville. And all the way here to do a debt-free scream?
All the way here to do a debt-free scream on our 20th anniversary. No
Happy
better place to be.
Anniversary.
That's awesome.
I love it. So how much did you pay off?
We paid off about $160,000 in about 6 years.
Good for you. And your range of income during that time?
Our range started at about 110, and after we really got into doing the program and we picked up part-time jobs, it's now 2 to 250 depending on the income from the part-time jobs.
Wow. You're killing it. Way to go. That's a lot of money. What do y'all do for a living?
I'm a school psychologist.
Mm-hmm. And I'm recently retired.
That's a good thing.
Congratulations.
I like this. Good plan. So what kind of debt was the $160,000?
It was credit cards and our house.
You paid off your house! Woo! Looking at weird people. Just in time for retirement. No debt anywhere. Boom!
I love it. I love it. So what started this journey 6 years ago?
You know, you have always said that age doesn't matter. You said race doesn't matter. And you said income doesn't matter. And we are here as witnesses that that is absolutely true.
Wow.
We floundered and squandered so much money over the years just living and doing what we thought was okay. But we went to a FPU class at our church 6 years ago, and it was the 9-week class. And when we heard it, it resonated with our spirits that, man, this is it. This is the right way to do it. Wasn't a get-rich-quick scheme, but it was the right way, commonsensical. But what happened was we weren't gazelle intense. We did it. We weren't going to give up all of our credit cards because you got to have a credit card. And we had come from previous marriages, both of us.
Okay.
And so we were older and more independent when we got married. So this stuff about joining incomes, no, we weren't having it.
Not after the last time.
Not after the last time.
Yeah.
And so we had a my account, his account, and then we had a joint account where we would pay the bills. Oh, we thought we were doing it. Yeah. We had a percentage based on what you made and I made, and that's the bill. But you know what? We were just slowly not really getting anywhere. We were treading water. And then 2 years ago, we had our first grandchild. That made us reevaluate our life and our legacy.
I like these people.
Yeah. Already a big fan.
Woo!
Big Denise fan. You're and amazing.
We were like, Dave Ramsey told you what to do. He told you 3 years ago what to do. But we just kind of did it without the gazelle intensity. And when that baby was born,
game on.
Game on.
Wow.
Game on. Tore up all the credit cards.
All right.
The independence was gone.
Yeah.
We got together, got our money together, felt like we had gotten a raise. He had a little problem with that, being a man.
And I'm going to tell you the small version of it. Being an older adult, I was 65 years old, got my old school ways. Took me a while to say, you know, give my check to someone that I wasn't used to giving it to. Usually going from my hand to my pocket, to the stores. I told myself, Ronald, you have to leave your ego and your pride at the front door.
Wow.
And let your wife take over this. Dave, you just don't know how much flack I got from my male friends that said, I can't believe you giving your wife your check. But I said, this was a way to keep our, not only me and my wife together, but also our legacy.
Wow.
Amen.
It's inspiring.
So now we're working together.
Now we're
now
working
we have
together.
One account and game on, and the house
game
gets paid off.
Game on, the house is paid off. We got, that's when we picked up the part-time jobs that ended up being really lucrative. And we're here to talk to the older people. We see a lot of younger people here. But we're here to say, you can do it. Age doesn't matter. We are 65 and 67.
Okay.
The only thing we could kick ourselves is because we didn't start sooner. But you know, when you know better, you do better.
Hey, there you go.
And we need to thank you publicly.
Oh, we love you.
For
you're
putting
incredible.
Us on this path.
You're an incredible story. I love you guys. You're amazing. Powerful, man.
Wow.
That's powerful. Preach it.
About 14 quotes I want to write down right
now.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of bunch of one-liners there. It's a whole tweetable event. This is great. Like we do anything on Twitter anymore.
Yes.
But yeah, way to go, you guys.
So you're saying it's never
so
too
now,
late.
No, okay, what's the grandbaby's name?
Rain. R-A-Y-N-E. Rain okay. Ivy.
Little girl?
Little girl.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. And now it begins. So the why is a little different, but that's a big old why right there. That little bee baby is a big old why. You guys, that got you going, and now you're 100% free. So, Ronald, your old buddies have made fun of you there. Your house is paid for.
Yes, sir.
Who's laughing now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, they will be laughing after I send this link to all my friends.
Yeah.
And the email.
Hey, how you like awesome. Me now?
Yeah, how you like me now?
So,
hey, Dave, I want to also say that I read your baby step book, and I've been passing on to a lot of young people to let them know that you can do the same thing I did.
Amen.
Instead of waiting like I did, I got in my 60s. Y'all can do it while you're in your 30s.
That's
I passed the book on, yeah.
So this retirement.
I think it takes more courage and more motivation to do it the way you guys did it. Even though you and I agree, it's obviously better at 22 than at 62 because the math is better.
Yes, sir.
But it's that old dog new tricks thing, man. People my age, your age, we don't like change.
No.
It's harder for us, and change requires more courage.
That's right.
Transformation requires more courage, and so I think you're heroes. I'm very proud
Thank
of you.
You.
You're amazing people.
Thank you.
It's amazing. Yeah. I just they're fun.
Well, I know.
Living you're the proof. Hero. You're a rock star in our world. I tell you.
You need to get a bigger world.
You're Bono, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story. You will be millionaires. Tell people what the secret to getting out of debt is.
It's the mindset. Once you change your mind, it doesn't matter the income. It doesn't matter any of those other things. We happen to have two incomes, but if we didn't, if it was just me, I could do the same thing. It's mm-hmm. the mindset mm-hmm. and Good. Working together when you do have two incomes.
Yeah, absolutely. Big deal. That's a big deal. Okay, we established that some of your buddies were picking at you. Who was your cheerleaders?
My wife.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't My tell wife. A lot of people.
We didn't tell a lot of people, no. My wife was the main one. They kept telling, you know, they kept telling me, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing.
Mm. It turns out both of you were right.
Yeah. And satellite radio listening to you every day, that was my motivation.
Wow. Well, we're honored.
You're telling a lot of people now, aren't you?
You guys are fun.
Yes.
Yeah, you just lit up a whole generation. I love it. That's fun. Very well done. All right, Ronald and Denise from Richmond, Virginia. $160,000 paid off. House and everything. Looking at where people did it in 6 years, making 110 to 250, heading into retirement. Debt free. Count it down. Let's hear a debt free scream.
Three. Two, one, we're debt free!
Yeah! I don't care who you are. That's how it works right there, baby.
Woo! That's why we do this right here.
Yeah!
For Ronald and Denise.
Oh, that's fun.
They're heroes, man.
That's fun. What a neat couple.
I got to go back and watch that and write down all the quotables.
Oh, man. I mean,
that's a book right there.
She's zipping them off there.
Wow.
No question. But
no excuses. Not too late.
Not too late. There's no, you can do it. Listen, if you thought you couldn't do it, I think she just told you you could. I think they just told you.
You just got told.
You just got told. This is the Ramsey Show. Scripture of the day, Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a nation falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Admiral Nimitz said, leadership consists of picking good men and helping them do their best. Open phones here at 888-825-5225. George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Zach's in Kansas City. Hi, Zach. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Hey, so about a year ago, I had to step away from school after falling on hard times. And I recently found out that my outstanding balance with the school was about to be collected on. And now I'm in a bit of a better position to pay a lot of that off. I was wondering if I should let it be collected and maybe negotiate and kind of get a deal from the collectors rather than just try and pay it all with the school.
Well, you know, I'd call the school and offer them a deal. Just gotcha. Tell okay. It sounds like your real story, like the truth, would be a good story.
Okay.
You know, I fell on hard times. I had to abandon, you know, my pursuit of the degree. And so, you know, so for the money I have spent there, I'm getting nothing. And I've saved up a little. I don't have it all. But if you guys would like to do a settlement, I can write you a check today and make this call it a day. And I'm asking for some mercy.
Yeah.
How much do you owe?
Right now it's $6,000.
Okay. How much money do you have?
Right now I have $6,000.
Yeah. Call them and settle it. Deal with it now. Be done with it. Don't screw some collector.
Awesome.
Get a hold of somebody. Get a hold of somebody in leadership and administration at the school. How big a school?
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big school. I don't know the population, but it's a pretty big school. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So like Kansas or Kansas State or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just call them. Just talk to the admissions office and say, who do I talk to about clearing this debt, settling this debt, and then just talk to them and go, hey, listen, do I need to talk with, like, your boss or something? Because I don't know how this works. I don't want to insult you or something, but who have I got to talk to that's got the power to do this? Because here's the situation. I went through this, this, and this, and I had to leave school because of that. And tell them the whole story. Not a 30-minute version, but a 4-minute version. And go, and I'm honestly, I mean, I've got a little bit of money. I'm still basically broke, but I want to settle this and do what's right and try to clear the debt. Can you guys help me with some mercy?
Gotcha.
And
I'm going to do just that.
Do what?
I'm going to do just that, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll work. I mean, it might not. You might just have to write a $6,000 check, but either way, you're done, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get out of Dodge and put this in your rearview mirror and move on with your life. I think your life will be better not having this hanging over your head and having to screw with somebody for the next 6 or 8 months waiting to hand it to collections to maybe get $2,000 saved or something. Dah. Move on with your life. There's a financial benefit to cleanliness in your life. Not having your head cluttered and things chasing you from the rearview. You know, there's no ghosts in the closet, no monsters in the closet, you know.
It's not worth the brain space, the emotional energy, or time it takes to even fight all this. You got the money.
You can concentrate on the future and winning instead of concentrating using your bandwidth on the monsters. Gerald is with us in New York City. Hi, Gerald. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you?
Better than I deserve. How can we help?
So I'm getting married in August. Fiance and I are both debt-free. Paid off a little bit over $100,000 in debt, which is awesome.
Way to go.
On the wedding, of course.
Way to go.
Thank you. So my question for you, just kind of thinking ahead, you know, eventually we're going to settle down and we're going to look to get a house. I know you recommend putting down 20%, but I was thinking, me being the saver, if we can save more than 20%, is it beneficial to put that down, or should we take that extra that we saved and just add it to our fully funded emergency fund or even invest it?
I would absolutely put it towards the house. We did something very similar. We put down 45% on our house, and it allowed us to pay it off a whole lot faster, and that's the goal.
You paid it off in what, 2-3 years?
26 months.
26 months.
And part of that was because we worked on the front end like you did. We're so diligent to save up and put a giant number down, and so that's only going to help you because, number one, it's going to be a smaller mortgage payment every single month, which allows you to have more margin to put on top of that. So I love this plan. You guys are crushing it.
Yeah, that's very, very wise. That's very smart. Yeah, do the George plan. All right, Bill is with us. Bill's in Midland, Michigan. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? I've got a quick question for you. My wife and I are both self-employed, and we set up Roth IRAs last year. And just wondering if, other than that, because there's obviously only a limit of what you can invest into that per year, what are other best investment options are for being self-employed people?
You have employees?
I do not. I'm a self-employed massage therapist, and she has two employees. She owns a CrossFit gym.
Okay. All right. For you, it's a no-brainer. I would do a Roth SEP, a Simplified Employee Pension Plan, an SEPP.
Okay.
okay? And you can put up to 13.6% of your net profits in addition to your Roth IRA into that, and you can do it as a Roth, okay, and you can do it in mutual funds. Sit down with your SmartVestor Pro, click SmartVestor at RamseySolutions.com, and sit down with one of those guys or gals, and they can lead you right through that process. Now, the SEP has a requirement that whatever percentage you put in, you have to put in the same percentage of the employee's income that have been with you more than three of the last 5 years.
Okay.
So if you've got, if your wife has employees that have been with her more than 3 years, and she puts in 10% into a SEP, she's got to put 10% of their income into their SEP. So it doesn't work real good then.
Sure.
Okay. She would be better off to do what's called a simple IRA. And a simple IRA is a 401k for very, very small businesses. It doesn't cost much to set up, and you can fund it up to 401k numbers, but you're required to match up to 3% of the employees, the money that they put in.
Okay.
If they put nothing in, you got nothing in it, and you've just got a good plan.
Sure.
But that 3% match is nowhere near as much as you'd have to put in with a SEP if you've got employees that have been with you a long time, and you can set that up as a Roth as well. So probably a SEP for you, probably a simple IRA, which is a 401k for small businesses, for her. And she's going to have that mandatory match. But either way, you can get a lot more money in between those two things. You know, $20,000, what's the max?
$20,500 on a
401k. For her, that'll be the max on hers. And yours will max out at like almost $30,000, but it's a percentage of your profits is the max up until you get to that limit. And so you can push all that through. SmartVestor Pro can teach you every bit of that. They can lay it all out for you. You can pick the same mutual funds you put in your Roth or different ones if you want. And try to do them all as Roths as well. But you can get a lot more money into this stuff. Now, reminder, Bill, if you're baby step four, you still got a house mortgage. You don't put more than 15% of your household income into all of these retirements combined. So that's your max, because we want to put everything past that into paying off the mortgage as fast as possible.
Yeah, and a good reminder for those that are self-employed that you do have options. I've got some messages this week, and people are going, I'm self-employed, so I guess I can't retire, and I can't save for retirement. And so
what?
They don't know that these options even exist. Well,
those are great. That little simple IRA, that little 401k plan for small business, is an incredible product. We used that here for a long time, and we hit the maxes on the size of the plan that required us to go into a more traditional 401k, which is fairly expensive to operate for the company. But that
you
little simple
scale,
that little simple 401k is a great, great product. And again, get with SmartVestor Pro. They can help you do every bit of that. George, good show.
Awesome times. Thank you, Dave.
Good job to Austin, Ben, Zach, Andrew, James, and Kelly. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Do you love a good Dave rant? Want to see the latest Ramsey Show videos going viral? Check out your favorite moments from The Ramsey Show on YouTube. Go watch and subscribe to The Ramsey Show channel on YouTube. If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges. And I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.